News Radio WJP. It's interesting. Gary Williams, Carbondale City Manager. I was taking a drive through Carbondale. One of the first things I'd been at the Carbondale, you know, the police department building. And I was like, wow, look at all those solar panels.
Yeah, a lot.
Yep. Yeah. I was driving around from the backside and didn't realize how far they went back there. Gary Williams. Morning, Gary.
Good morning. It's great seeing you.
Happy 2023, I hope, and an even happier 2024s.
Yeah, busy last year and probably another busy year, but yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting if you go a little while and you don't drive around through Carbondale, as I mentioned I did Saturday, you know, it's easy to miss something.
Mm-hmm.
Although hard to miss the transportation building. Is all the steel been hung?
No. No, the main columns, if you drive down, if you drive down Illinois Avenue right now, most of the main columns, vertical columns have been set. They've started on some of the roofing. But yeah, the last section of the building on the south end, they won't be able to finish until Amtrak gets destroyed, because it was just, the building was too close to the existing building to dig footings and all that. So,
first off, you get a size, you start getting, it's all academic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The drawings, you start getting a much better sense of its size now.
Yeah, the exterior wall is about 35 feet when it's complete. And so, yeah, I mean, once the walls start going up, it's going to look bigger and bigger, and it's going to be a pretty, a pretty significant property on that part of Carbondale.
All right, so... And then you've got another, is it $2.3 million for the stage project? Entertainment venue?
Yep, we got a grant for $2 million, and that was to cover the first phase, which is basically the stage itself. A lot of planning went into it. Over the years, we had a bunch of musicians and people in the music industry that got together that gave us a lot of input on what to do, like what to program. And so it's something that'll be a permanent venue. The stage area itself is pretty big, so it could accommodate just a wide range of acts. We're going to have a green room. Apparently, this was like something this is all kind of new to me in terms of planning events and things, but that's an important element. It's for a place for bands and whoever to hang out and relax, and so it'll have that there, restrooms and all that. So we're pretty excited about it.
Call a hospitality room, green
room.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know I frequently had my own at Gatsby's behind the stage myself, so... Always interesting when the bodybuilders want to come in and can I borrow the room to fire up steroids? Sure, pal, whatever, you know. So here's the thing. I think Carbondale's smart in this respect, because I've seen other organizations, whoever wins will vote on the name, and then that name is some really horrible, embarrassing name. Well, you've said, look, we're looking for input.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of curious. We're looking input for the stage name and the entertainment venue. How have people responded so far to that? Do you know?
Yeah, really positive. A lot of the suggestions probably wouldn't surprise you folks that have been, really involved in Carbondale's music scene, people that are, emblematic. I think they've, entertainment in Carbondale. So,
well, I know Robbie Stokes has got some supporters, the Robbie Stokes Memorial Stage or whatever the case.
There's been a bunch for the two main ones have been him and Big Larry Albritton.
And I was almost thinking, why not call it Twist Memorial Stage, Big Twist.
Yeah. And that has actually come up.
Yeah, but it has.
So yeah, but it's been really positive. We're pretty excited about how this plays out.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious too, but here's the thing. Smart in another way. Gets people involved. Gets them invested. Has them interested. Gets them watching. There's another role this place, too. So I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, we've, in the past, we've made decisions that were not, so collaborative. And I like to think we learn from our lessons, learn the hard way sometimes. So we thought this was a great way to get the public involved in.
So what am I missing when it comes to new things being built in Carbondale? We talk about the transportation center, the stage, the entertainment venue there that's going up. What's the exact location on that? Can you help me, Gary? I'm having a hard time envisioning its position.
Yeah, it's the corner of Washington and Walnut Street. So diagonal from Italian Village, if you know where that's at. Yep, there's a green area there that's open space, and
yes,
that's where we've been having these for years.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can close. It's nice.
Right. It starts at the end of the block with a No, that's the other block over is a parking lot. So, yeah, there's a big open spot next to the railroad.
Big open spot next to the railroad, and then it's with Washington being right there, it's nice because we can close the street down and make that whole area just a big open area for events.
All right. So what else? Being built. I mean, you've got some new businesses that are looking at Carbondale.
We do. And, you know, what we've been excited about was, and it's kind of flown on the radar, but we presented some ideas to the council a few months ago about ways to incentivize people to restore some of the vacant buildings, specifically in downtown Carbondale. And that's been very well received. We created what we're calling an infrastructure grant. A lot of those older buildings, a lot of the biggest costs are making the bathrooms accessible, upgrading electric services, those types of things. And we've had several people take advantage of that, and one of being Boobies.
Now, you said grant. Now, some smaller towns across southern Illinois had a revolving loan program. We're talking about a grant program, not the same thing here.
Yeah, right? This is purely a grant. Okay. And you know, the way we looked at it was all these are in a TIF area, a tax increment financing area. And so any of these improvements are going to increase the value of the properties, and so ultimately the city will be reimbursed for those investments.
Right.
But it's a huge incentive to people want to start a business, because they'll always tell you that upfront capital is the biggest roadblock for people to start a business. And
I talked to a guy starting a business in Carbondale. He had his original budget. He says, I had a budget. We thought we had, and then everything starts to happen. He says, maybe our original budget was a third of what it should have been.
Well, so and the unforeseen.
So he's getting some extra help to pull it over the finish line.
Yep, and these old buildings, they're just unforeseen stuff. You get in and...
Well, I can tell you, I've been through that when we remodeled the radio stations that are attached to the old CIL building. Yes, it was a historic site. Roof leaked. What are you going to do there? And surprise, right? It's just the nature of it.
Yep.
I interrupted you on Boobies, which is everybody wanted to know the answer to the question. And I was asked Saturday when I was in Carbondale, do you know when Boobies is going to open?
Well, you know, I don't have an official date on when he's going to be open with restaurant and all that stuff. I know that they've been setting up equipment. They did I guess you could consider it a soft opening a couple months ago where they were letting people in and they had, you know, they have their liquor license and all that, but, they should be open shortly. They have the old Boobies sign, similar to the original they've put up. PK's right now is closed temporarily because they took advantage of this grant. One of the things that was prohibiting them from, expanding or better utilizing the area to the south that we've allowed for them to have an outside area is restrooms, and so they're using this grant to create new accessible restrooms. That'll be a big plus for them.
ADA compliant and all the things that, well, Carbondale has won a lot of awards for in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see somebody did give a suggestion. We were talking about naming the stage. Somebody says Carbondale should just change its name to Austindale.
Austindale.
Like Austin, Texas.
Well, I like it. I mean, yeah, we kind of joke occasionally that we often wish we would have kept our kind of perception of keeping it weird like Austin, you know, going back to the Halloween days and all that.
Right. Let's see here. Today, got a special guest in Carbondale, the Illinois Attorney General. It's going to be today at the Planned Parenthood Illinois opening. At 10 a.m., the Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, along with the President of the Illinois Planned Parenthood at that event this morning at 10. I think that's facilities like that or similar. Three now in Carbondale, is that correct? Right. All right, what else do we have for you this morning? All right, let's talk about 2024. We have these building projects, and I can't shake this. I spoke with Kirk Overstreet, John A. Logan College, and they, you know, had the grant money all signed up. They're ready to get started these construction projects. And then inflation, 18% higher costs and things along that line. How much of a wrench does that throw in Carbondale's building plans? Does that present any special problems to you as city manager?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've we've seen the prices have stabilized a bit, but it's never it's not going to go back to what it was pre-COVID, but during the severe inflation we had a couple years ago, it certainly leveled off from that. It's made it more manageable. But yeah, there's been some projects that my sense is still from supply chain issues that the costs are so exorbitant we've had to just push off stuff that we've bid, and we've just said to the council, look, you know, this should cost $1 million, and they're telling us it's going to be 1.8 or 2.3 or something. It makes no sense to do this. And so unless it's a critical
need. But you, for the transportation building, you made those adjustments.
We did. We had enough time, and we made adjustments during the process. Then we got really lucky last year, in 2022, actually, we Department of Transportation got a hold of us, and they had extra money. And they gave us an additional $4.3 million. So that, you know, the unfortunate part, it would have been nice to have $4.3 million to put into, like, more programming. But the reality is it ended up offsetting some of these costs we're talking about.
Right. And hopefully you'll be able to get this stuff done between, you know, now and more costs. Hopefully we're done. But, you know, with labor being what it is and that being at a premium as well, it's a competitive market out there. You know, I did note one thing City of Carbondale is doing. Christmas tree pickup now through the end of January, if I my notes are correct. And I thought this was, I don't remember you doing this past, maybe I just missed it. So literally, whatever trash day pickup is for you, you go out and put your Christmas tree there, and then they come back the next day?
No, it could be the next day, but what happens is the guys that are out doing the routes, they call in the addresses to our dispatch. And
to the forestry department.
Yep, and then they run around and pick them up, and we use them actually at Cedar Lake. Cedar Lake's our water source, but it's a lake that we, you know, we're very protective of, and so we typically dump those out at Cedar Lake, and then they're used for fish habitat.
You doing Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration next week?
We're not. SIU does.
Okay.
Yep, and so there's an event, I believe, on Monday morning, the MLK breakfast. But, yeah, that's usually a well-attended event on campus.
Well, I've got the community celebration is at the Civic Center at 2 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that. That is a free event that's coming up, Carbondale, for MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, one week from today. The final question is, so what about the naked guy running down the main street this weekend? It caught a lot of social media attention. The conspicuous absence of photographs of said event, not that we're upset by that. But, you know, it's 1974. We were all running around naked without our clothes on at SIU. There was even fewer arrests. I think at one point, you know, 3,000 people running through Carbondale naked.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
But this weekend, a special commemorative event with just one.
Just one person, yeah.
A little nostalgic, apparently.
Yeah. You know, I love my community, Tom, and I wish that I wish I could tell you that was the first time that's happened. but yeah, I mean, it's just you unfortunately at times you see a little of everything. But I think that on a serious note, though, it speaks to things you and I have talked about in the past. We've seen such an uptick since the pandemic started in mental health issues in Carbondale, and we talk to our counterparts in other towns, and they're seeing the same thing. And it's just, you know, these are symptoms of that, and I don't know, we don't see that going away anytime soon, unfortunately.
You know, what's weird is I'm kind of an idealist. I suffer from a pretty bad case of it, in fact. And even as an idealist, I do not know how you go about solving this problem. I really do not know. First off, if it's instantaneous nature sometimes catches you off guard, and sometimes you'll make a mistake responding because you don't even know what it is you're dealing with. Are you dealing with somebody who's mad? Who's, you know, are you dealing with somebody who's having a breakdown? I'd never want to be in that position. I feel for the law enforcement agents who do.
Extremely difficult. I think that most people would be shocked at how much time officers spend doing, doing these social service types of activities. It's a bigger and bigger chunk of their day.
Yeah, and it's going to have things. It's going to have an impact on the city of Carbondale in the other ways, unless we find some way of getting things under control. Like I said, I have no idea how that's done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound cynical. I'm kind of like you. I think that any of these problems can be solved. But I think to solve them, it's such a complicated problem that involves so many different areas of, you know, our social services and federal governments and regulatory agencies and all that. But I think it can be done. It's going to take a concerted effort and patience. You know, it took a long time to get to this point, and it's not going to get solved overnight.
What do you think ought to happen to the mall?
Well, you know, I would love to see it. You know, I feel older all the time because I keep telling stories to people about when I was here in college and younger, and you would go at the holidays and it was just, you could barely walk through it.
Right.
So, yeah, my hope would be that. But the reality is we just don't see that happening. You know, we have a population that's set that's going to allow us to have X amount of retail space here, and I think we're kind of there right now. We're we could probably accommodate a little more depending on the diversity, like the types of stores, those types of things. But there's a lot of space at the mall. You know, I think that there's models out there with housing and different things, active adult centers and recreation. But I wish I had a great answer, but it's something that we talk to the mall folks a lot, and it's something certainly on our radar.
Here's an interesting one coming in from John on the American Monument text line, saying Gary Williams was the only person at the council table who would defend the city forester for removing diseased trees at Evergreen Park, one of my favorite places.
Well, thanks, man. I'm glad that he sent that in. Yeah, we had, I was certainly proud. We've got such a great staff, and we had an issue that blew up recently. You mentioned social media earlier, and it was, I can understand people's concerns, but we took over, you may follow this issue, we took back several properties that were city-owned properties that had been managed by our park district, which is a separate taxing body, Evergreen Park for 60 years, since 1963, and we took that back last May of 23. And there was just a lot of issues there and a lot of dead trees. And so we had to cut out about 25 trees that had emerald ash borer. And if you're familiar with that, it's a little, it's a little insect that multiplies if you have a host ash trees, and we have to proactively take those down. And these were completely gone. And so the unfortunate part, Tom, was all these were in like one small area. And so the impact of taking down a bunch of trees, it looked really bad. And we understand that.
I was just back there and I didn't even notice. I swear I didn't notice. Mm. I mean, I walked back to the peninsula, for the areas and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing, and I took the loop.
Yeah, it's the area. It's along Pleasant Hill Road, so it's on the main frontage. And so we took a lot of criticism from folks about why we did those things. And God bless our forester. He got up there and took full responsibility. And we all had these conversations. And so I appreciate the message. I'm not going to let any of my staff sit up and, take all the brunt of things. That's kind of my job. So,
all right. Well, it's actually some of the first things they teach you in forestry school. Mm-hmm. Diseased trees. I mean, I've walked the hills of Southern Illinois with a number of them, and what should be cut and what can be cut and what should be cut and then disposed of and burnt.
Yep.
It's a conversation you have when you walk among these trees in Southern Illinois, folks. Gary, I kept you a long time today. Carbondale City Manager Gary Williams. Good luck in 2024 is the message, though.
Thanks.
Let's have a good year, right?
We're going to have a good year.
8:42. Kids come back, SIU, 1 week from tomorrow.
16th, I believe.
Right?
Yep.
Martin Luther King, day after Martin Luther King Jr., day 1 week from today.